be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the 12, "As you go, make this proclamation. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. Without cost you have received, without cost you are to give. Do not take gold or silver or copper for your belts, no sack for the journey or a second tunic or sandals or a walking stick. The laborer deserves his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, look for a worthy person in it and stay there until you leave. As you enter a house, wish it peace. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. If not, let your peace return to you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
These days after Pentecost, we continue to ponder the difference that the Holy Spirit's supposed to make in a life. Today we're able to do so in a special way in the life of St. Barnabas, which is a real call for each of us today, especially in its most distinguished characteristics. You know, we prayed throughout the Veni Creator Spiritus, that hymn that the Church sings throughout the Novena, preparation for Pentecost. In firma nostri corporis, virtute firmans perpeti. Strengthen the weakness of our body with your perpetual strength. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is the gift of courage. When we receive within that gift of courage from the Lord, that gift of strength to do what we ought to do despite our fears, despite our sluggishness, despite our weaknesses, that we do what we're supposed to do in faith. Once we start to do that, that naturally encourages others. People say, "Well, if she can do it, I can do it. If he can get up in front of a crowd, so can I." And that's what we see very much in the life of St. Barnabas. St. Paul had said that we encourage others with the encouragement we have first received from God. And so we become encouragers by being strengthened within, encouraged, God's courage placed within us, so that we can then go with that strength from God and place that divine power in others too. Inspire and help. St. Barnabas was called by the first Christians a son of encouragement. He first got that nickname when he sold his entire property and laid the proceeds at the feet of the apostles to distribute as anybody most needed. Think about that. If you were to see a fellow parishioner come on in and say, "Here's the deed for my house, here are the keys for my car, and here are all my bank accounts," would that encourage you to be more generous? Certainly did for the early Christian community when they saw that type of heroic generosity. But that wasn't where it ended for Barnabas. If it weren't for Barnabas, we wouldn't have St. Paul. St. Paul, after his dramatic conversion on the road to Damascus, started to preach up a storm. He was so successful that those who used to be his co-conspirators in ripping Christians out of their homes and bringing them even to death, like had happened with St. Stephen, his co-conspirators had now turned their crosshairs on him. They now wanted to assassinate him. They had to lower him outside of the walls of Damascus in order for him to escape. And he went up to Jerusalem. And what happened in Jerusalem? Would have expected everybody to applaud. "Yes, we've got the great convert, St. Paul." They're all petrified of him. They're all totally afraid, St. Luke tells us. I think they probably thought he was a mole, that this was some type of ruse to infiltrate the Christian community, get all their names, and then he'll go to his old buddy and get them, and they'll rip them out of their homes and they'll end it. They just didn't trust him. But it was Barnabas who went to him, listened to his story, and then St. Luke tells us, dragged Paul by the hand back to the apostle, went step by step with them through St. Paul's conversion story in such a way that the church in Jerusalem finally accepted Paul. And once Paul was accepted, off he went again and he started to preach up a storm, such that those in Jerusalem, like those in Damascus before, were hunting him to end his life. So Barnabas took him by the hand again all the way down to Caesarea to send him back to Tarsus for things to cool down. Probably Paul was a little bit inordinate in his preaching at the time and maybe wanted to be martyred like he had made martyrs before. Barnabas encouraged him, "Go back to Tarsus and I'll come for you later." When Barnabas was essentially sent to Antioch to strengthen the Christian community there, it was growing by such leaps and bounds and it didn't have enough teachers that he said, "Now's the time." He went all the way to Tarsus with great spirit of encouragement and said, "Paul, please come help me." And Paul did. They taught there for a year. And after that year, as we see in today's gospel, the Holy Spirit himself spoke and said, "Set apart Paul and Barnabas for the work to which I have appointed them." And after the laying on of hands, they went on that first great missionary journey. St. Barnabas was the one who was constantly encouraging St. Paul in each of these stages of his life. And if we didn't have his encouragement, we wouldn't have had Paul. If we wouldn't have had Paul, the church would be much different today. Much different. That brings us to our own life. Are we men and women of encouragement? Do we live with the gift of courage by the Holy Spirit in such a way that it's contagious, that it inspires others to do the same? You know, back when I was in seminary, there was a book written about six of us, my twin brother and me and four of our classmates at the North American College. And there were some risks taken in that book when the present Archbishop of New York, Cardinal Dolan, called us on in and said the Associated Press reporter wants to follow you all year long. He's probably going to be able to trip us up. He's probably going to be able to, in the course of a year, find something if he really wants to use it against us to print in something, and it might endanger the way your bishop looks at you in future ordination. But they've asked for you six guys to cover, and I'm not going to advise you either way. It's up to you, but I'd ask you to pray about it. And I asked Cardinal Dolan, I said, "Well, what are you planning to do?" He says, "Well, I think it's worth the risk. It's worth the risk to try to show how God is calling people today to the priesthood." So we all decided to do it. And he was exactly right. There were a few things in that book which were not really accurate. But fundamentally, what happened with that book? In the first year that book was published, we got 37 letters from different guys all across the United States saying, "I was on the fence with regard to my call to be a priest, and it was because of reading your stories that I decided to have the courage to enter the seminary." That the witness of somebody else is able to provide the encouragement another needs in order to do the similar thing, in order to do the great thing, in order to do the thing that God wants. Are we men and women of that type of encouragement? To somebody who's sad, are we filled with the Holy Spirit's gift of hope so that we're able to go and lift up their spirits when they need it? When somebody's just totally in a rut because they've been failing at what they've been trying to do, are we the type of person who crosses that road to say, "Let me help you. You can do this. I believe in you"? When somebody's been really wounded, are we the one who can go with that courage and say, "With God, there's always healing. Don't give up. Keep going"? The church needs these Barnabases today. When people have wandered away from the church, are we the type of person who is able to go and say, "Come back. God's awaiting you. Don't be afraid. Just come back"? Those are the Barnabases we need, and God's calling each of us to be a similar Barnabas. Today's a day also in which we recall the Barnabases we have had in our life, those who have encouraged us on our journey of faith, when we were thinking of throwing in the towel, these are the people who were there for us in that moment and called us back to the Lord. Might be our parents or grandparents or godparents, might be a particular teacher, might be a particular clergyman, might be a religious woman, might be a great friend, might be a husband or a wife, might even be a child. But today is a day in which we give gratitude to God for all those sons and daughters of encouragement that He has sent us. And that because we have been strengthened by that virtute firmans perpeti, strengthened by that perpetual strength of the Lord then sends us out as the Barnabases of our age to literally place that courage in others, to encourage them too. the very end of today's first reading, the Holy Spirit spoke while the church in Antioch was praying and fasting. We've been praying and fasting all morning. We're praying and fasting right here as we await the coming of the Son of God. Holy Spirit spoke then, saying, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Today the Holy Spirit wants us to hear Him saying, "Set apart for me Roger and Norman, Gabrielle and Jean and Joe and Rini for the work that I have called them to." The Lord, the Holy Spirit, is calling each of us. He wants to strengthen us here at this Mass so that we can go out and strengthen others. This is the Gospel of the Lord.